Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Lead First, Lead Second. This is the podcast where our spiritual pursuit meets our leadership development. We believe the best leaders don't start with strategy. They start with surrender. And so when you're led by Christ first, you're going to lead others with greater clarity, greater purpose, and greater impact. So every one of these episodes is designed to help you grow, not just in your leadership, but in your character, your convictions, and your calling. And today, we get to sit down with Pastor Nate Rail again and talk through a little bit of some group mindsets as we're leading these different small groups, Bible studies, discipleship gatherings, whatever it might be. What are some mindsets that we need to kind of be thinking about? Because to be quite honest, a lot of things are just easy to drift into and we don't realize it. So, Nate, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Awesome. Yeah. Excited to be back.
Yeah, man.
Jumping in here for another conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's good to have you. So you and I were actually talking a little bit before we started recording, and there's just this idea of how easy it is to almost have like a group think when you're kind of thinking about your life group or, again, your Bible study, whatever it might be, as opposed to remembering, oh, I have like individuals to work with. And so why is that such an important mindset to just kind of be aware of, and what do we need to do about it?
Yeah, it's great. I guess I would say just to maybe describe both of these realities.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So from the mindset of as a small group leader, you know, if you're leading a team, right, in this context of a small group leader, you're thinking about, okay, what do I need to do as the leader to help the group as a whole keep taking their next steps?
Yeah.
You have like making sure just the cadence of the meeting is set up, the regular communication that you're trying to send out. It might be a group text, could be, right? We're trying to, you know, in this particular context, there's some things that are optional and a great opportunity for people to take some steps outside of just the small group meeting. Well, that requires some extra communication, that requires some extra scheduling. And so you're thinking as a group leader, what do I need to do to help the group be effective, make sure the group is moving together? And I guess, you know, now that we're heading to week five, we're like in the middle of week four, week five, launching kind of that rhythm of kind of the next kind of, we're almost to the halfway point, so mm-hmm. to say. I know as a leader, like I'm picking up things about the individuals in my group. Mm-hmm. I learned this about this person. This individual shared this. They shared their story. This gentleman, he's brand new. He's never been in small groups. This person seems like the Lord's really putting this on their heart. They're really feeling moved and motivated in the area of serving. And mm-hmm. that's like something on their mind. Yeah. And so, right, you're trying to keep the small group at large moving. And then you're also, the encouragement is like, be curious, like investigate, like listen, like what is God doing at an individual level?
Yeah.
We had a night of prayer. And so I heard people pray about these things. So, as the group leader now, it's like you're also part of the discipleship journey of a small group is saying, okay, Lord, how do you help me guide the individuals? Mm-hmm. And the reality, and we can talk about this more, but everybody's at a different place in their journey.
Absolutely.
So if I had to describe kind of what am I doing as a leader of the small group at large, and then what is God asking me to do and think about as I'm kind of stewarding the individual relationships of that group. That's kind of just setting the stage for that here.
I love that because people might not have been understanding what we're even talking about, especially if this is like one of their first times they've ever led a group of any kind.
Yeah.
And so you don't necessarily realize, that's where drift of any kind comes from. You didn't realize you were drifting almost every time you drift.
For sure.
And so this whole idea that as you look out across the room, whether it's three people or 19 people, you have very specific stories and very specific moments with God being challenged in very specific ways. And they don't all align. Now, God's probably doing something to help unify your group.
Yeah.
But you and I were talking with a couple of group leaders over the last couple of weeks. We're like, their group is made up of some eclectic people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like, man, all of these varied backgrounds and all of these varied places, and it's just a lot to handle. And if you're trying to take the whole group through every conversation, every step, every decision at the exact same time, you might feel like you're not getting anywhere. But if you can shift to, okay, how do I help this individual? You can start to really see some big wins. So if we're gonna make some of those shifts, like let's zero in on one topic. Like, how would you go about kind of the mindset of making sure that the people in my group are starting to grab a hold of, let's say, like a service mindset, one that I want to serve people, I want to help people, I want to love people like Jesus wants us to?
Yeah. I think the first thing I would do is, you know, if I hadn't, like we've been praying that through this small group, that there's someone or somewhere that the group could serve. Mm-hmm. Well, if there's someone in your group that's a little bit further ahead, it might be a great time, if you haven't asked them, hey, could you help bring a little bit of ownership or responsibility? Mm. So for that individual, what you're doing is you're their next step or part of their growth journey is you're actually entrusting responsibility or entrusting coordination. And so that helps that person. You might, hey, could you organize this? Could you reach out? Mm-hmm. Could you set this up? Or you could say, hey, Tim over here, in our group has a really great idea of someone that we could serve. Could you come alongside him mm-hmm. and help him? And could you guys find a couple other people that we could kind of coordinate this? Mm-hmm. Then as the group leader, you're not doing everything, but you're activating. It's not going to be every group member, no. but maybe there are two or three people who could uniquely move forward that serving idea. Yeah. And they could take a little bit more ownership. And the person who has the idea can feel empowered and encouraged and excited. And then the end goal of that is, instead of you doing everything as a leader, a few people maybe are, they get to grow through that or have a unique responsibility. So that'd be one idea, is empowering people to do that, or bringing clarity or communication to the group when someone has an idea. If that's the idea to run with, making that decision, moving that forward, yeah. activating that. And again, trying to do that all with simplicity, not trying to overcomplicate that.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of different, like, I don't always like the word mantra, but I have a couple like mantras in my mind. And like, one is you can either lead your group toward control or lead your group toward growth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so like, you're trying to help the individuals in your group grow.
Yep.
You're not trying to control everything. And, you know, we both have kids, and when they were toddlers, they had terrible ideas. Dad, can we eat this for dinner? Dad, can we do this today? And you're like, no, that's not how this works. Like, and that doesn't mean you squelch them and say, I never want to hear an idea from you ever again. It just means you have to like coach them through that. And so there are going to be people like, well, what? How about we do, I like to, hear me out if this offends you, but I like to pick on when people are like, can we do this thing at like the Humane Society? Or like, can we go do this thing for animals? And I'm like, you can love animals, serve animals, all you want. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Yeah. When Jesus says go serve, go help, he means go interact with people,
yeah.
right? And so if someone in your group's like, I have an idea, we can go do this pet thing. Well, unless you really know how to tie that into the people that are connected to those pets, that's probably not a good idea. So how do you encourage them through that? Or how do you shift gears and coach them through it? You want to look for ways to like help people begin to see what you see. And sometimes that means you have to do a, maybe in your brain, a C plus idea to help them begin to see what an A plus idea looks like. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I love that whole idea of like empowering people in your group to be a part of this, because that's where they're going to learn. And that's how they're individually developing.
Yeah. And sometimes we try to, like, I'll just give a couple examples. I was talking to someone like, what if we came alongside this ministry because we know there's an opportunity? Well, they have a personal relationship to that ministry. And so for that group, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that everybody in that group is necessarily going to be passionate about that.
No.
But you could mobilize people towards that, mm-hmm. talk about the heart of serving, create a great experience where it can do some simple, kind of a simple service opportunity. And then the whole group can benefit from that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're not trying to sit around and idea source the best idea from right. everybody, because you probably won't get there.
Oh, gosh. You know? So, yeah. I learned that the hard way years and years ago, that if you're trying to get some kind of – everybody gets really excited about the thing they shared. So I want to help my neighbor, but I want to go help this inner city ministry, but I want to help this missions project. Yeah. Well, they're not going to, quote, unquote, budge until you start – yeah. helping them see it. Yeah. And of course, if you have a long-term group, like if you're already an established life group or Bible study or whatever, or if you're thinking and praying about it becoming something long-term, maybe those ideas can be something that happens over time, mm-hmm. but you don't have to do it all at once.
Yeah. So maybe here's some other So I think that's the serving's a great example. Here's maybe some other things that rattle through my mind is, you may have somebody in your group that their next step is to consistently attend the weekend service.
Yeah, right.
Because that is a next step for them or for their family, where that's a part of their discipleship. Mm-hmm. You might have somebody who, through the course of the small group, you start to realize that, you know, maybe through some of the sharing or some offline conversations, hey, actually, like, I could really use some help with my marriage. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that's not an organized corporate next step. That is that small group leader empowering and coming alongside and saying, okay, maybe like God brought us together for you to find community and connection. And as you find community and connection, he also is revealing to each of us, like, how can we support one another, encourage one another? And so their next step might be counseling. Mm-hmm. Their next step may be a marriage mentor that's in a discipleship role already at the church.
Yep.
Someone that's, you know, it may not be where you go serve together as a group together. Mm-hmm. It might be this person's like, I really feel like I went through the gifts. I went through the heart to be like, God has given me this passion and I need to take a step towards working with teenagers. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Like, that's a very individual.
Yep.
That is the individuals now are taking steps within the group as a whole. And so I just think as a leader, it's looking for ways to celebrate that and encourage that. I guess I don't know who I learned this from. I think it was a mentor. It was very helpful. They encouraged me. They said, like, Nate, you have a shepherding heart. You're gifted as a shepherd to be in people's lives. And I remember working through this a lot of, like, well, ultimately, like, what's my role as a spiritual leader, mm-hmm. as a shepherd, and what's this role of, so to say, the sheep or the individual, my group member? Ultimately, I'm praying that as they begin and continue to develop their relationship with Jesus, and as they're developing that cadence, and as they're hearing from his voice, and as they're taking steps in their own journey, I'm, as the shepherd, a sounding board, a resource, mm-hmm. I'm an encouragement, I'm a, hey, sounds like God's doing this, now I'm helping you get activated. And so I'm not taking responsibility for your spiritual growth. I'm coming alongside you, and I'm celebrating what God's doing in your life.
Yeah.
And so now I'm not making a disciple of Nate. We're making disciples of Jesus.
Yes.
And so the more that individual starts to see how God is working and how God is speaking, how God has wired them, their identity, their calling, I'm a part of that process, and God is using me, but it's not dependent on me.
Right.
It's God's doing this, and he's working, and he's transforming them, and I get to partner with him. Mm-hmm. And so as encouragement to the small group leaders out there that you are stewarding the group as a whole, and you are looking for ways that God is working and helping point people to their next step, but the Holy Spirit is also working, and God is also steering in that person's heart. So don't put all the pressure on yourself.
Absolutely.
And sometimes I just need to be reminded of that I'm partnering with Christ in this, mm-hmm. and that's a fun journey. That's exciting. And so I don't have to figure out every step for everyone.
No,
so, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I used to be guilty of trying to figure out the step for everybody. I mean, I have some tendencies in me where I can want to control things a little bit too much. And I think I've grown past that a lot, but it was early on. I'm like, you got to do things this way. Well, one of the ways that I've kind of stepped back from that, but because I have a little bit of a tracking mindset, a lot of times in the groups I've led, I'll have even if it's just a place in a journal, it doesn't have to be something formal, where I'll kind of like write down the names of the people in my group, and then I'll write something down simple, like know it, live it, give it away across the top. Or even in the case of like many of the listeners are going through Rooted right now, like you could list the seven rhythms if you wanted to. But like, then I'll start going through name by name. I'm like, pretty sure this person has a pretty good know it cadence. Like, I know they pray. I know they're in some version of the scripture. Cool. I know this person could really use some help somewhere in living out their faith. Maybe like you said, they need some marriage help, or they don't open up and talk to anybody at all. Or they do. I know they're, if you have a long-term group, like, yeah, they're in group with me and they participate. Cool. Check. And then the give it away, like one or the other, are they serving on some level? Are they, and like regularly, because I think it's just worth mentioning, like serving once or twice a year is not a serving mindset, but they're regularly engaged in some type of ministry efforts, and they're regularly engaged in like the mission of trying to connect people to Jesus. And so as I kind of walk through my roster of individuals, I can start to see, hey, John needs more emphasis on like this serving mindset. And Joni needs more emphasis on like knowing it. And then as I look at my whole group, I can go, man, a lot of my group could use emphasis in this one.
Yeah.
And that's when I can start steering the group toward, how about we spend a season?
Yeah.
It's kind of what we're doing with Rooted, like digging into the rhythms of what it means to connect with God. If it's only one or two, as a healthy leader, you can run after them, but now you realize maybe that's not a group focus. Maybe that's just some conversations or some texts I can be sending back to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I love all that. It's great wisdom. And I think this is what we learn, you know, every time I lead a small group, I'm learning new things about myself. I'm learning new things about my leadership. Learning how to bring other people into the room or into the conversation sooner, or, you know, so I would just, as I think about someone who's in a short-term group context, I think one of the things that has been helpful over the years for me is if I'm in week five and I know I'm approaching week 10 as the end kind of time of that rhythm, it would be good to start in week 7, 8 to kind of put that out to your group in a, hey, one of the things that God has kind of brought us together, we've had this run of this season together, like start asking them, like, what does the next step look like for you maybe? Mm-hmm. Like as the next couple of weeks, be thinking about, love for you to, how can we encourage each other in that?
Yes.
So it's not a expectation that you have or a goal that you have that's silent, but it's getting communicated more broadly to the group and give them some time to marinate in that. Mm-hmm. And as they do some reflection, as they think about some next steps, and as things are shared, you know, maybe there's people that want to stick together and read the Bible. Or maybe it's for some groups, it's we could, what if we focused a season on our marriages? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Let's see if the group members themselves can surface what's on their heart. And then you can kind of run with what some of their felt needs might be or where they want to kind of sink in or take a next step. And that can be encouraging. But again, that takes some forethought. That takes some communication. That takes just kind of marinating that out there a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to have some great celebration. Like we're hoping to say, hey, this is what God's doing in our group. Maybe some people want to get baptized. Maybe some people step into serving.
Yeah.
Maybe some people are like, you know what? I want to stay committed to this idea of community.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that next step looks like, but I want to be committed to that.
Yep.
And then that leader, you can work with them individually on, okay, what does that look like for our group? Or what does that look like for you individually? And I think that can really start to move, get some momentum moving towards, because everybody loves the idea of a short-term group till they wrap up.
Yep.
And all short-term groups, the nature of a short-term group, right, in that discipleship strategy, it has an endpoint. Mm-hmm. And so you have to uniquely work as a short-term leader versus a group that's ongoing or one that is going to move forward. So, yeah.
There's so much. So, you know, right in the middle of the whole Rooted experience for our listeners that are going through that, there's this whole prayer experience, like you as a leader have to start praying about your leadership, you know, because are you a facilitator to what's next for the people in your care? Or is God stirring in you that like, maybe there's something ongoing that this group of people could do and maybe I'm a part of that. And so just being open to kind of like you said, you know, I don't know, 15 minutes ago, like I got to be open to how God's leading in this.
Yeah.
I can't just strategize my life out. I have to, if nature of this podcast, I have to be led first before I can lead well.
So good.
Yeah. So that's good. Well, I think that that's really the heartbeat of what we wanted to make sure we're getting across, whether no matter what kind of group or what type of environment of people you're leading. Make sure that you're shifting gears in a healthy cadence of shifting from group mindset to individual mindset, that you're thinking about the people and what they're going through and what they're struggling with and fighting through, and that's how you can shepherd super, super well. So, Nate, thanks for kind of walking us through a lot of that and helping us figure out maybe where to go with it.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Joe.
Well, thanks for joining us on Lead First, Lead Second. We are super hopeful that this conversation challenged you and encouraged you to lead with greater purpose, and it's rooted in your relationship with Christ. So remember that when you lead others well, you've got to be led well to do it. So stay faithful in your followership, and your leadership will follow. If you found this episode helpful, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, share it with someone that's maybe growing in their leadership journey. But until next time, keep leading, but always follow first. We'll see you next time.